All the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football, right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO. Tonight, Murph's going to be joined by the fly guy himself, Stevie Johnson. We'll have a report on the USC Pro Day workout featuring Matt Barkley. That and your phone calls tonight on The John Murphy Show.
This place is pandemonium.
Touchdown, CJ Spiller. A 10-yard touchdown run, and what a run it was.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is The John Murphy Show on the official voice of the Buffalo Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Still don't know what a fly guy is. We had this discussion last fall. I have no idea what that means. Whatever it says about me, I do not really get I don't have a handle on a fly guy. Good evening. Welcome. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We are back live on the radio, live from One Bills Drive, here until 9 o'clock tonight with a lot on the table tonight. Going to recap the news of the day here for the Bills and the National Football League. We're going to talk a lot about Matt Barkley today, his pro day. He threw today in front of scouts from just about every NFL team out at USC in Los Angeles, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. We'll talk with Blair Angulo of ESPNLA.com. He was there today watching the workout. We'll talk with Stevie Johnson, the fly guy, a little bit later on tonight as well. And we want to talk to you. We want to get your thoughts. I mean, we are now inside the month before the NFL draft, obviously. The Bills, I read somewhere online today, is, you know, there's a lot of opinions out there. Someone wrote today, I think it was at ESPN.com, maybe it was NFL.com, but someone wrote, there is no team more desperate for a quarterback right now than the Buffalo Bills. Hard to argue. When you look at the roster, when you look at what's gone on as the days tick by, and it is just Tavares Jackson on the roster with Aaron Korb, that's it. I would say that's true. Now, there's time to find that quarterback, obviously. There are opportunities to find that quarterback, both in the draft coming up April 25th, or in free agency, which is now until whenever. And there are names out there, names that we know, some of them we know better than others. The question I would put to you, Bills fan tonight, Bills fan listening on the radio, Bills fan with access to a phone that may want to call us up. The question I would put to you, who do you want under center for the Buffalo Bills in the season opener? Who do you want? Now, realistically, who would you like to see taking that first snap in the first game for the Bills this September? Who would you like to see? I mean, the way I look at it, there are nine realistic options. Nine realistic options. And if you have someone else, you know, throw it in there. Try to, you know, make it someone realistic. But I look at nine realistic options for the quarterback to take the first snap in the first game in September this year. Tavares Jackson, because he's on the roster. And then some rookies. Matt Barkley. Got to be an option. Geno Smith, West Virginia, rookie. Got to be an option. E.J. Manuel, rookie, FSU. You'd have to consider him. Ryan Nassib, rookie, out of Syracuse. You'd have to consider him. Possible free agents or guys who may become free in the next couple of weeks or so. Carson Palmer, the reports persist that the Raiders will let Carson Palmer go soon. Would he be an option? Would he be the guy that you would want under center for the Bills? Matt Flynn, CBSSports.com reporting that the Bills are one of, what, four or five teams making an inquiry about Matt Flynn, the Seattle quarterback, the former Green Bay backup. Hasn't had a lot of playing time, but you would think that his name should be in this mix here. Kevin Cobb, who has had extensive playing time with the Arizona Cardinals the last few years, now a total free agent out on the street. Colt McCoy, not yet free, but reports today that Colt McCoy may soon be free of the Cleveland Browns. And am I forgetting anyone? Am I forgetting anyone? I don't know. There's nine names there. And if there's someone that's not on that list, a realistic option, I mean, please don't call up and say Tebow. I don't think that's realistic. But if there's someone that you think is a realistic option to be the man taking the first snap of the season for the Buffalo Bills, you know, come up with that name. Otherwise, name one of those nine. Who do you want under center for the Bills in the season opener this September? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550. Toll free, 1-888-552-550. You can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Who would you like to see under center for the first snap of the season for the Buffalo Bills? We'll talk about that. We're changing up the show as we go along. Charles Davis is going to join us in a little bit later on this hour. Charles Davis, who is a analyst for the NFL Network, he was also at the Pro Day today at USC, right? Or was he in the studio? I know he watched. He was in the studio.
He was in the studio. Yeah, in Los Angeles. Himself and Daniel Jeremiah were commenting.
In L.A., right? Isn't that where NFL Network is?
That is right.
They watched it closely. We'll talk with Charles Davis coming up a little bit later on this hour. We'll shift around a few things, and Stevie Johnson will happen as well. Now, let's talk about just briefly the news of the day. I can see we got some interest in that topic, but the news of the day, tight end Fred Davis, speaking of free agents, the Washington Redskins free agent, had dinner with Bills officials over the weekend, and he told a radio reporter that he is going to make a visit to One Bills Drive this week. The talented tight end, coming off a ruptured Achilles tendon suffered last October, said he's already running. He told Pro Football Central radio host Brian Harrington yesterday that he leaves tomorrow morning for Buffalo, which means today. Haven't seen him around here. Fred Davis, he says he'll be ready to go full go by mid-June, which sounds pretty ambitious based on what an Achilles tendon normally does. Fred Davis, in that radio interview in Washington, was asked if he is worried about the fact that the Bills right now do not have a seemingly a viable option at quarterback on the roster.
I mean, definitely that's the main part of any team, man. You need a quarterback. You need that leadership. I'm sure that whatever they're going to do, they're going to go in the draft and try to get something or make something happen, I'm sure. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, that is something that you got to think about. But I'm sure that they have a plan for that, which every team hopes to have. But I hope it works out.
Fred Davis talking to a radio reporter. He said he is coming to Buffalo. The Bills met him in Washington over the weekend. He knows that the Bills already have Scott Chandler coming off injury at the tight end spot, but Davis seemed to indicate that he is interested, and he talked about his visit coming up this week to the Buffalo Bills.
I think when you meet him, man, I don't know, just talking to him, he seems like a player's coach, man. I don't know. He seemed really cool, down to earth, and really honest and real, you know. And that's something sometimes with a lot of coaches you probably don't get to see. Having a conversation with him, I was the first guy he said, you're the first guy I talked to because we're not allowed to talk to any guys. So I was like, yeah, that's cool. And then I just meeting him, he was really down to earth and really cool, man. And all the things he talked about and why he was the coach and why he didn't choose NFL in the beginning. I don't know. This hearing all that stuff makes you know that he's really a humble guy and just down to earth. He makes choices not just about money. It's more just about, you know, what he feels he wants to do in life. So I don't know, just hearing that story and all that stuff made me respect him more.
He's talking about his meeting with Doug Marrone over the weekend. Fred Davis says he is on his way or should be in Buffalo very shortly. Matt Barkley held his pro day today. Mixed reviews, according to folks there. NFL draft analyst Mike Mayock was there, and he talked about his impressions of the workout today for Matt Barkley.
Paul, the word I would use is solid. And I think that's a good word because that's the kind of quarterback I think he is also. I spoke to an awful lot of coaches and scouts after the workout, and they had the same impression I did. What we saw today was very representative of what we saw on tape, a really solid workout. What I liked the most was his footwork, Paul. I mean, he's a guy that's been under center his entire life. He's NFL ready as far as his feet are concerned, and every throw he made, he was under balance. So, Paul, he's not going to bowl you away with arm strength. It's good. It's not elite. But I'll tell you what, timing, anticipation, and accuracy, that's where he's going to have to make his living.
Mike Mayock talking to Paul Burmeister of NFL Network about Matt Barkley's workout, his pro day workout at USC today. Barkley decided to throw into the wind, whatever wind they had out there in Southern California today, and he talked about that decision after his workout.
Yeah, we decided to go that way, heading into the wind. We knew that coaches were probably going to ask us to go that
that's
way
right.
Afterwards if we chose to go with the wind. So, yeah, I don't think it posed too much of a problem. Maybe a couple balls here and there, but I thought it was a good day overall.
Matt Barkley, we'll hear more about that pro day workout with Charles Davis from the NFL Network in just a moment or two. One other news note today, and it involves us. It involves the John Murphy Show. The announcement today that we're going to be on the air in Rochester coming up April 15th. The Buffalo Bills and Entercom Broadcasting announcing today that this show, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, is going to make its Rochester debut Monday, April 15th, just a couple of weeks away, on Sports Radio 950 AM ESPN Radio in Rochester. Of course, we've been on the air here on WGR Radio since late July, since the first day of training camp. We are branching out into Rochester with the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. The start date for that, Monday, April 15th, and we'll talk more about that in the weeks ahead. All right, we are on the air tonight live with Charles Davis from the NFL Network coming up. Stevie Johnson's going to join us, and a lot on Matt Barkley's pro day workout. But the question on the floor, who do you want under center for the Bills in the season opener? Realistically, who would you like to see taking that first snap for the Bills this year? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, the number toll free, 1-888-550-2550. You can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. We'll start with Emmanuel in Buffalo. Hello, Emmanuel.
John, how you doing?
Okay.
I mean, when it comes to free agency, the only guy I would want is Matt Flynn. Other than that, I want no one on the free agency. Besides that, in the draft, my first choice, of course, would be Geno Smith. He's the only quarterback I'd take in the first round at 8. No one else. If we were to go to the second round, I want my first choice would be Ryan Nassib, maybe Tyler Wilson, or even Tyler Bray or Landry Jones. I really don't want anything to do with Glennon because he's not mobile. I really don't want anything to do with Barkley because his arm is not strong and live enough. But for the most part, those are the guys that will be my choice. My top choice would be Geno Smith.
Okay, your top choice is Geno Smith. Realizing, Emmanuel, that it does not look likely he would be there at number 8, right? Can you acknowledge that?
Yeah, because I heard Oakland's interested in grabbing him, but he would be my first choice if he's there.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Emmanuel. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Jim in Rochester. Hey, Jim. Welcome to the show.
Hey. Hi, John. That's great news. I'm excited that you're coming to Rochester.
Yeah.
It was tomorrow.
No, do you listen? How do you listen? Over the internet or do you listen on the...
I get it on the podcast.
Okay.
Sometimes when I drive home, I can pick up 550 from where I am. Sometimes I've noticed that since spring hit, I could pick you up a little better than when it was wintertime.
Okay. Well, starting April
15th. I don't know why that is. But as long as I get you on the podcast, I'm pretty happy.
April 15th will be on the radio down there.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
April 15th on the radio down there at AM 950 ESPN in Rochester. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. Two things, actually. One, in your intro, you have the guy who says, I'm going to like talking to you because I know it sounds like you know football. Who is that guy? I can't figure it out.
It's Calvin Shepard. And it really is self-serving. We probably should remove that, but... You know what I like about it? I like that he got me. I mean, I really burst out laughing. He got me that day when he said that.
Yeah, the laugh sounds genuine. I like it.
Yeah, he took me by. Calvin is an interesting guy. I like him. And that came last – I don't know what I know actually what we were talking about. We were talking about run defense and why things weren't working, which was pretty familiar topic last season. And I asked him a question, and that's when he said, you sound like – That's why. What are you saying? That's you. Now, I know you know football because something like that. But thanks, yeah. Calvin Shepard. Yeah,
so
that was Calvin.
And now
really
I'm a little more comfortable talking to you because I can tell you really know football. You know?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I would go with Nassib only because with this draft, it's not like the other guys that were in the previous years where you knew you were going to get a stud. I would rather have the guy that you know what you can do with this coaching staff than somebody that you're going to find out later that maybe it didn't go well. If it doesn't go well with Nassib this year, then you can always just draft another one. You've got a very solid backup. So
yeah.
I really like Nassib. And there's one more question I would like to ask you. I don't know. I hope it's not stupid. But if we wanted to, because we have only 6 draft picks, could we trade Dennis Byrd to maybe San Francisco, or who's got a lot of draft picks, but I know he's franchise tagged, so I don't know how that works. Can you explain that to me, and I'll listen off the air?
I believe they could if they wanted to. They could trade him. I mean, as soon as he accepts his franchise designation and signs that contract, they could, because he'll be under contract. It'd be a tough trade to make because, the other team getting him would know that they would have first of all, he's going to make a lot of money this year, and they'd have to work out a long-term deal with him. But I don't know why the Bills would want to trade Jarris Byrd. Here is Ray in Buffalo. Ray, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Thanks for having me, Murph.
Sure.
I wanted to say, the tight end, Davis, I mean, he's a good tight end, but I would like to have him if his Achilles is not how Sean Merriman's was. I mean, because Sean Merriman had the same situation, is we got to go through that again, or is he really healthy? And as far as the quarterbacks go, as far as under center, I would rather see Matt Barkley because he's an 8-year starter. You know what it takes. He stayed back in college, and he went through adversity. Still had a subpar good record. And if not that, the Flynn guy. And I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, thanks, Ray. Yeah, I mean, your concerns about Fred Davis' Achilles are well founded based on his history more than I think Sean Merriman's. And it wouldn't surprise me that a major component of his visit to Buffalo that he talked about today or at the cuts we had on the radio, it wouldn't surprise me if a major component of that would be a physical exam, testing, what they have with that Achilles tendon injury and to see how serious it is. So we'll see. see. He may even be around here tomorrow. Here is Eric in Alden. Hi, Eric. Welcome to the show. You're on the air.
John, thanks for my call.
Sure.
John, in the beginning, you mentioned Tavares Jackson being under center. Now, you know, for all this time, I am tired of all the speculation. What are people going to do? Which quarterback they're going to take? You know, I believe this man, he's had 2 years of rest. And you see him at camp. You've seen him, you know, for a couple years now. What exactly is your impression of him? Can he run the read option? Can he be a viable quarterback? I think his arm would be rested. I really don't know that much about him, but I'd like to know your take on him.
Yeah, I really haven't seen him much. I mean, to be honest with you, he didn't get much work at all. He didn't arrive here until just before the season started last year. Obviously, never played in a game, never took a snap, and didn't take, to my mind, a whole lot of practice snaps last year, if any. I mean, I don't think he took many backup reps at all last year. And my biggest impressions of Tavares Jackson playing was with the Minnesota Vikings a couple of years ago. And I thought he was adequate then. I don't think he had an extremely accurate arm back then. Seemed to be pretty mobile, although can he run the read option? I don't know. I don't know that that's going to be an important component of what the Bills want to do anyway. But my initial impressions, I guess, about Tavares Jackson would be a guy with an arm that looks okay, not especially accurate, a guy who's pretty mobile and seems to be able to move around the pocket a little bit. But an unknown, based on the fact that nobody's seen him play now for a couple of years. Justin in Buffalo. Justin, welcome. You're on the show.
John, how are you tonight?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to make a quick comment. I know that Carson Palmer could be out there. And looking at him, he's a solid veteran that, I don't think he's in his prime as of this time anymore, but I still think that Carson could be a leader and does have an arm and really never had anything in Oakland. I mean, he was good at the Bengals when he had receivers to throw to, mm-hmm. If we got Fred Davis too, which is, that could be one of the Bills' pushes, like, hey, we want to get a veteran too. And then, he obviously gets somebody in the draft like a Nassib or a Tyler Wilson, in the second round. If they fall to you, great. You have somebody there that, down the road if you needed them, and start fresh. But I think Carson Palmer, with the team we have right now, I know that we have, Spiller and Fred, and you have a couple good receivers there. You have Stevie, obviously still is elite, one of the best in Buffalo history. I mean, I think that Carson could be somebody that the Bills would get at a reasonable amount and would definitely be somewhere that they could look.
All right. Thanks, Justin. Thanks for calling. Not a bad idea. And I think by all indications, the Raiders are eventually going to cut him loose, put him on the open market, and the Bills, that might be what they're trying to do, just wait him out, see where he goes. Who knows? Maybe they're waiting to see if Colt McCoy comes free, waiting to see what the asking price might be in a Matt Flynn, continuing to evaluate all the quarterbacks, including Matt Barkley, who they looked at today in his pro day at USC. We're going to break, and we're going to take more phone calls on this, by the way, as the night moves along. But we're going to break right now. When we return, we're going to talk with Charles Davis, NFL Network analyst. He's part of their Path to the Draft coverage. He was in Los Angeles today. We'll talk to him about Matt Barkley's workout when we return. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live from One Bills Drive on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, coming to you live from One Bills Drive. Bills receiver Stevie Johnson coming up a little bit later on tonight's show. We're shifting things around a little bit as we deal with the news of the day, and the big news of the day came out in Los Angeles on the campus of Southern Cal, where it was pro day for the USC Trojans, pro day for quarterback Matt Barkley. We are all watching it on the NFL Network. On the line with us now, the man who is the main analyst for NFL Network's Path to the Draft, Charles Davis. Charles, thanks a lot for coming on the air with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me. Hope you guys are well.
Yeah, we're doing great. We watched the coverage today. We'll be watching Path to the Draft from now until draft day. It's 6 p.m. Eastern here on the NFL Network here in the East Coast. Well, what did you think? We watched it. You watched it. What did you think of Matt Barkley today, Charles?
I thought he was good. I thought solid is probably the word that most people would use. I thought I saw most of what I've seen out of Matt over time. And, he's been gone for a little while because of the injury, so he hasn't thrown against live competition since late November. And today obviously wasn't live competition because you're throwing routes versus air. But this is the first time we've seen him work out. Because remember, he did not work out at the combine, didn't do anything. He took his physical and went to interviews, which is a strength of his, but we didn't see him throw. So I saw what I expected today. I thought I might see a little bit more because I've been a real big Matt Barkley backer along the way. I think I'm the one who's been saying for the last month that the starter's pistol for the number one quarterback doesn't truly fire until Matt Barkley throws, and he threw today. And from what I saw just off of a pro day, and you guys know how that goes, all right? It's dangerous just saying one day makes up everything. But based off of what I saw today, I don't think he'll ultimately challenge Geno Smith for the number one quarterback, but that doesn't mean he won't still be taken in the first round.
Charles, you mentioned his shoulder injury. He had, I guess, a slight separation. Was there any trace of that you could tell from his throwing motion today or the velocity on his throws today?
No, it looked normal Matt Barkley throwing the football. Probably would be nice for him to be able to say, well, I wasn't 100%, so I didn't get everything on it today when I threw the ball, but that wouldn't be accurate. I think he's 100% healthy. He's been throwing for a long time now, been working out. I thought he looked the best physically that I've seen him looking throughout his college career. He looked at it as the best shape I've seen him in, and I never thought he was in bad shape. But he's lost some weight. He looks a little more cut up. He's obviously been putting the work in. But as far as him throwing the ball today, there was no hitch in his delivery, nor any hitch in his giddy-up, even though he ran to just barely a 5-flat 40.
I wonder, you know, when people talk about arm strength, and I always wonder about this, are people looking at deep throws or are they looking for the outs, you know, and the really tough throws to make? Because I think people get confused sometimes when they see a guy, you know, rear back and fire at 40 yards downfield. That's not a true measure of arm strength, is it?
No, I think you nailed it. You were talking about the outs. Let's say you're on the left hash mark, okay, and you're throwing 15 to 18 yards to the wide side of the field, to the right side of the field, and throwing that out route, or to flip it over to the other hash mark and throw it back to the other side. That's what you're talking about. Outs, comebacks, being able to throw the skinny post routes that you've got to put on a line, over a linebacker, in front of a safety. You can't arc it at all. Those types of throws are what you're talking about to really measure arm strength. Because the deep ball, I can rear back and put some air under, and if I've got a guy who can run, he can go get it for me, and it looks like that people equate that to arm strength. I think you've enlightened us and illuminated a real key point on what really constitutes arm strength.
So how did Matt Barkley's arm strength look today to you?
I thought it was good, but not great.
Yeah.
You know, and one thing I've got to give him points for, he threw into the wind today, and that was a conscious decision by him. Andrew Luck did that last year at Stanford because you remember the only kind of knock that was against Andrew Luck going into the draft was people were wondering if he had an elite arm. And he alleviated every concern possible with his workout into the wind, including his last throw, which was a 75-yard bomb to Chris Owusu, his receiver at Stanford, who actually dropped it. And when he did that throw, it was kind of like he could turn and pull the Eddie Murphy in Coming to America, hands over his head, point to the side he's walking off, and walk off the stage. Any other questions, folks? Matt Barkley did not do that today. He threw fine, but you still didn't feel the same way when you would walk off like a Luck. And I'm not comparing them because they're not the same guy. But Andrew Luck's arm, definitely more elite than Matt Barkley's.
We're talking with Charles Davis. He is the main analyst for NFL Network's Path to the Draft coverage. You can see it Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. on NFL Network. What questions remain for Matt Barkley, do you think, Charles?
And I think it's everyone doing their homework, continuing to do their homework. Matt Barkley is a kid that you can win with. Matt Barkley, if you go over his body of work for 4 years, go back to high school, you know, I'm big in predictive behavior and repetitive behavior, okay? If you got a kid and I just take the name and the number off of him and I present him to you as a case study like this, I've got a quarterback who started as a freshman at a national powerhouse high school program that would rank in the country, not just in its area, modern day, as a freshman and go 4 years as a starter there, be a team captain multiple times. Then I go to a school like USC and I start as a freshman, win a big game on the road against Ohio State to get things started, and continue to be the starter throughout probation, turmoil, toil and toil, trouble and boil, throughout all of that, okay? And then come back with the numbers he's put up and the types of games he's won and competed in tough circumstances. I think you might like his makeup. And I think that's what Matt Barkley is. He's a total gym rat. He's going to know your offense backwards and forwards and sideways. He's going to be able to make every throw, even though he's not one of those guys who's going to whistle it through the wind and the ball's going to come through just fine. But there are plenty of those quarterbacks who are more than successful in the league. I think he's pro-ready right now. He could go run an offense. He'll need to have some people around him, You'll need to build it up. I don't think he's a guy that wins you games on his own. He's not that type of talent, but he's more than talented enough to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I don't think there are any more questions to answer. Health is fine. We saw what the arm was. It confirmed what we saw on film, and we know about the intelligence and the leadership and all of that. Just get comfortable with that and where you're comfortable in terms of picking him. I still say he's going to be a candidate to go in the first round. Wouldn't surprise me at all to see him go near the end of the first round now. I don't know about the top 10 as I might have been predicting before.
And what other quarterbacks will be in the first round, would you think? Geno Smith, I'm sure you think.
Yeah, Geno Smith's pretty much a lock, probably almost a lock to be the first quarterback taken, probably somewhere in the top 10. I know you're in Buffalo. That would be an interesting, you know, that's an interesting number there at eight. You know, I think really the bidding starts for Geno probably at three with Oakland, depending on what they do with Carson Palmer. I think after that it goes to seven to Arizona, eight to Buffalo. The Jets, if they're really feeling frisky and bold, although I don't think so since they're bringing Sanchez back, that would be nine, and 10 is Tennessee, and I don't see that with Jake Locker. So those are your top tens. After him, is it Matt Barkley? Some people would say yes. Other people would say E.J. Manuel out of Florida State. You know, some people I've heard talk about Ryan Nassib. That's not where I would go. That's not my flavor for it, but I've heard many people talk about it. Would someone like a big, strong thrower like a Mike Glennon, does he now come into play there? I think ultimately, Manuel, Barkley, and Geno Smith are your top three candidates to be first-round quarterbacks.
Charles, what are your reservations regarding Ryan Nassib?
When I watch him play, I've said before, I don't know if he has much more of a ceiling. Other people do. A lot of people have called me and told me how wrong I am. So we'll see on that one. I think he's a good athlete. I don't think he's elite, but that doesn't matter because I think he does a really nice job with the intangibles. I think he's a very tough kid. I think he's a smart kid. I think he has excellent leadership abilities. Doesn't seem to get daunted very much. I'm not sure about touch. I don't see much variation on when he throws the football. You know, whatever the route is, it seems to be the same ball coming at you. But again, I've had people far smarter than me tell me how dumb I am, so we'll see how it goes. And when I talk about Ryan Nassib not being a first-round guy, that doesn't mean that I don't think he's a second-round guy.
Yeah.
Okay, ordinarily, I would grade him as a third-rounder, but in this draft, I think he's probably a second-rounder. Quarterbacks get pushed up anyway, and in this draft, he can compete in the same pot with just about every quarterback, in my humble opinion.
Charles, one more question. This goes back to Matt Barkley, and you probably saw this or heard this at the Combine 6 weeks ago. When the question came up about USC quarterbacks failing recently in the NFL, yeah, and I think we're talking about Sanchez and Matt Leinart, he refuses to be tainted with that USC brush, and I like that about him. He wants to set himself apart from those recent USC quarterback failures, doesn't he?
Yeah, and I think that he's right to do that because, you know, what they had to do in their failure, just because he came from a school doesn't mean that the school has been hexed and voodooed and, nope, you're USC quarterback, you can't play. I mean, we all know that that's true. That's not true. We've had Carson Palmer in the league who's had success along the way, Rodney Peete who's had success along the way. I mean, we can go on back. Pat Hayden has success in the league as a starting quarterback, taking over for Joe Namath. So the idea that, well, you're a USC quarterback, can't do it, it's all different things. And by the way, Matt Cassel barely played quarterback at USC.
Yeah.
I've been doing USC games since about 2002. I can pull out my spotting boards for a game when Matt Cassel was there and point to you and say, Matt Cassel, third string tight end, listed on my depth chart. So
wow. So
the idea now there, well, Matt Cassel, okay, stop, all right? I mean, you know, that whole thing, that voodoo hex thing is just right out the window. If he doesn't make it, it's not because he's a USC quarterback. It's because things just didn't go well.
Absolute last question here, Charles, and it's a
sure.
big one. It's a big question. If you were the Buffalo Bills, in some people's minds, desperate for a quarterback now, what would you do? Would you draft one of these guys, or would you look at a free agent, somebody who's going to be a free agent maybe?
Yeah, the hard part is, you know, who are we talking about in the free agent pool? You know, and when you're getting down to that, is Carson Palmer available? Is that the route you want to go? That somewhat feels like, you know, you're trying to get, you know, you got Drew Bledsoe. You went that route before, and that was okay. You know, I like Drew, but at the same time, did it pay off overwhelmingly? I think you've got a new coach, a new system. I draft my own quarterback and start to build from there.
They just might do that. Charles, we really appreciate it. I know you've had a busy day. We enjoyed meeting you down the Senior Bowl, and we thank you very much for coming on with us tonight. Thanks a lot.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. It's great to talk with you again after our interaction at the Senior Bowl, and hopefully we'll see each other again. Take care now.
Thanks. Charles Davis is the main analyst for the NFL Network's Path to the Draft, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. on the NFL Network. those guys worked, you know, it's funny the way the timing worked out today because, you know, the workout for Matt Barkley, I think it was scheduled to start about 3:15 Eastern time. He never got thrown until about 4:15 and wrapped things up a little bit after 5 p.m. Eastern time. So those guys are all just like coming off the field. And in Charles' case, coming out of the studio out in Los Angeles, just kind of a late start to everything out there with the Matt Barkley workout. But it is over, and you heard Charles Davis' thoughts on that. We're interested in your thoughts as well. Phone lines are open if you saw it. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can follow us on Twitter. And the question on the table as we go back to some open phones here, who do you want under center for the Bills in the season opener? Realistically, who do you want? You know, is it Matt Barkley who had his pro day today? Is it one of the other rookies, Geno Smith, Ryan Nassib, E.J. Manuel? Is it somebody who's a free agent or maybe an impending free agent? Kevin Cobb, Matt Flynn, Carson Palmer, Colt McCoy. Is it Tavares Jackson already on the Bills roster? Give us a call. Let us know. Who do you, if you could close your eyes right now and give us, you know, who you would like to see take that first snap, first offensive snap in the Bills season opener, who would it be? 803-0550, the number toll-free, 1-888-550-2550, the number to call. We have rearranged the show because of the late start out there with the Matt Barkley Pro Day workout. And producer, Russ, I'm not quite sure what's coming up the rest of the night. Can you fill us in what's coming up now and what we've done to the show?
I sure can. We've completely ruined the show, Murph.
No, that's my job.
All right. No, we've taken apart, put it back together. At 8 o'clock, we will be speaking to the guy who put together WeAreSC.com, which is part of ESPNLA.com, and that is Gary something Polish.
Okay.
Paskowitz.
Okay.
I believe, if I'm going to go out there.
All right.
And then at 8:20, we'll be talking to Stevie Johnson.
Stevie's at 8:20 now. Okay, that's really what I was asking for. Yeah, we're making this up as we go along today, but that's okay.
It's the beauty of live radio.
It is live
radio. This is what you have to look forward to, Rochester.
Good point. Here is Salvatore in Lockport. Salvatore, welcome. You're on the air. Hello, Salvatore. Are you there?
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Hey, you know, I think that this year's quarterback draft class has a lot more talent than what people are saying. I think that we're just a little spoiled coming off last year's draft class and the supreme talent that those quarterbacks, Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin, Russell Wilson, had. And just because it's not the same elite talent, you know, I think we're kind of getting down on these group of guys. But I am excited for E.J. Manuel. I am excited for Landry Jones, Ryan Nassib. But if I had to make a pick of who I want to be my quarterback for the start of the 2013 Buffalo Bills season, I really, really would like Carson Palmer. I think the guy's got the deep ball arm, and he's got a lot of experience that he could bring to this offense.
Yeah, okay. I hear what you're saying, Salvatore. Thanks very much. He's 33 years old, Carson Palmer is. He's not a free agent yet, by the way. Expected to be released eventually. And I do believe in some way what Charles Davis just mentioned. It would kind of be like the Drew Bledsoe thing all over again. I don't know if Bledsoe was 33 when he got here, but he was up there. And maybe not even as much tread on the tires as Drew had when he arrived here way back when. I think, and this is what I hope happens. I mean, I might as well answer the question I put out there because I put it out there. I hope this happens, and I think it makes sense that if you're a new coaching staff, why would you want to accept somebody else's quarterback? You know, build from the bottom up, which means rookie. And if you can get Geno Smith, probably you should do that, although that's going to be hard to do sitting there at number 8. I'm not convinced that Matt Barkley deserves to be drafted number 8 there, but the Bills may think that he's their guy at number 8 if they want to build from the bottom up. And, of course, there's a Ryan Nassib connection with this coaching staff, which, you know, I wouldn't think they'd want to take him in the first round, and you can get a good quarterback in the second round as well. But if, you know, I just think it's probably best for the Bills to go rookie this year at quarterback and play him, by the way, play the rookie. But we'll see. We've got miles to go before we get to that decision. We've got a break right here, and then we'll take more phone calls. Who would you like to see under center at quarterback for the Buffalo Bills on opening day this year? Maybe it is a free agent with a rookie in the wings waiting to play after. I could accept that answer. 803-0550 is the number. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. As always, you can follow us on Twitter and send in your tweets at John Murphy Show. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live from One Bills Drive on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. I feel like we're doing the show in Los Angeles today. Everybody we talk to is in L.A., and all we're talking about is USC guys. We are not in L.A. I took a look outside about an hour and a half ago. This is not Southern California, in case you were wondering. It's unbelievable. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We are live at One Bills Drive in Orchard Park, and we're talking a lot about USC because of Matt Barkley and his pro day today. We're going to talk more about him next hour as well. We're going to talk with Gary Paskowitz of ESPN LA. He is the publisher and founder of WeAreSC.com. He was there at the pro day workout today, and we'll hear from him. We'll talk to Stevie Johnson about his workouts in LA over the last couple weeks. Let's just pick up and move as long as all we're dealing with is Los Angeles stuff.
Let's not go there.
All right, 803-0550, the number. The question on the table, who do you want to see under center for the Bills on opening day? Who do you want as your quarterback? Let's go to Wayne in Sloan. Hello, Wayne. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. How you doing?
Okay.
I think the Bills are very high on Geno Smith. But my question is, if Geno Smith falls down to the number 6 pick and the Bills feel that Arizona is going to take him at 7, do you think they're going to make a deal to jump past Arizona at 6?
That would not surprise me.
To get Geno Smith?
That would not surprise me, Wayne in Sloan. I mean, if they could make that deal, they probably could, because it wouldn't take a whole lot to jump up a couple of spots, not like it would if they needed to get up in the top 3. Which they may need to get Geno Smith. I mean, essentially, you'd have to probably surrender your second rounder at least to move up, 8 to 6, a couple of spots. But that would not surprise me. If they get that close, yeah, that would not surprise me, especially worried about Arizona at number 7. Antoine in Buffalo. Antoine, welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show.
Thanks for taking my call, John.
Sure.
Oh, yes. I just wanted to say that, I've called you before in the previous months with the quarterback situation, and I've been all in on Matt Barkley for a while, and after his pro day today, I'm still saying the Bills should go all in. If he's there at the pick, you got to take him. I don't think Geno Smith's going to be there. I mean, this guy has the poise. He has the 4-year generalship of being the quarterback of a major program, captain, had the C on his jersey. I mean, you just got to look at his body of work. And the Bills need leadership at quarterback. They just don't need a quarterback. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts, and thanks for taking my call.
Okay, Antoine. Yeah, I agree with you. All of that is correct about Matt Barkley. It's just arm strength, really, that sets me back. And he did nothing. I mean, he didn't have a bad pro day today, and I just watched on TV. We're getting opinions from people who are actually there. He didn't have a bad day today, but certainly he did nothing to dispel the doubts about his arm strength during his pro day workout today. And that's not because it's a Buffalo thing. I mean, it matters maybe slightly more in Buffalo, but you need a strong arm. I mean, just the other day when we talked with Greg Cosell, I mean, it's not the number one criteria, but I think it's up there, top 5, and not, you know, to heave it downfield. This is the point I tried to make with Charles Davis. You're not looking for, you know, some arm strength doesn't mean, you know, chuck it downfield 55 yards, you know, fly pattern down the sideline, touchdown. I think arm strength means the ability to fit it into tiny little NFL windows quickly and efficiently with a ton of velocity so that guys can't swat it down. And I don't know, as I said, that Matt Barkley did anything today to dispel those questions about his arm strength. Here is Neil in North Tonawanda. Neil, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Murph. How you doing tonight?
Okay. Good.
Good. Well, you know, taking a look at how important that position is in the NFL today and given the Bills' depth chart at the position, I would not hesitate in, you know, if Barkley's there at 8, go all in there. And then, heck, if Nassib's there at 2, take him as well. Yeah. You're dealing with a rookie salary cap now, so you're not getting killed totally by, you know, by those exorbitant contracts. And it really covers your butt either way. I mean, look at what Washington did last year. You know, you got RG3 and then came back 2 rounds later and got Kirk Cousins, and it really saved them.
Yeah, the only thing is the Bills with only 6 draft picks and a variety of needs, I think, you know, to spend a third of your draft class on quarterbacks back-to-back like that, I mean, you really would be ignoring some other needs. But like you said, it's been done before. The Redskins did it just last year. More about quarterbacks coming up next hour. If you're on the line, stay there. We'll get to your calls, and we'll take more calls as well. We're going to talk about Matt Barkley's pro day workout when we return, and Stevie Johnson coming up next hour as well. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's going to the house.
He's doing it again. My man. Touchdown, Buffalo.
I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
Loud noises!
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Family-owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO.
This gentleman is the Buffalo Bills' finest hour.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. On the official voice of the Buffalo Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hour two of the John Murphy Show. I am John Murphy, and one reminder, if you didn't hear the news earlier today, we're going to be on the air in Rochester. We're moving down the thruway. We're staying here, but the show will be on the air in Rochester a couple of weeks away. We'll make our debut in Rochester on Monday, April 15th. The Bills and Entercom Radio announcing that the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, will make its Rochester debut in a couple of weeks on Sports Radio 950 AM ESPN Radio in Rochester. Worldwide domination eventually by the John Murphy Show. Well, a lot of talk today about quarterbacks, a lot of talk about West Coast quarterbacks, including the USC Pro Day, where Matt Barkley threw today. On the line with us, the publisher and founder of WeAreSC.com, part of ESPNLA.com. He's covered USC football for the last 16 years. Gary Paskowitz is with us. Gary, thanks for coming on the air.
Oh, thanks for having me, John.
You've been covering USC football for 16 years, and you just told me a minute ago you've been covering Matt Barkley for, what, 8 years, right, since he was in high school?
Yeah, we were involved in high school coverage out here, and he started as a 14-year-old freshman at Modern Day, which is one of the big programs out here. So this is a guy, you know, 4 years as a starting quarterback in high school and 4 years as a starting quarterback at SC. This guy has played a lot of football.
Yeah. What was tell me about Modern Day. They've produced some big-time quarterbacks over the years, right?
They have John Hewitt, Matt Leiner, two Heisman Trophy winners from the school, and then Barkley, and you remember Colt Brennan from Hawaii,
yeah,
the record-setting quarterback a few years ago. So, yeah, they do okay down there.
Yeah. Hey, Gary, what was Matt Barkley like as a high school quarterback and maybe as a young high school quarterback, freshman, sophomore, that age?
Yeah, amazingly polished. I mean, how many kids do you know, at 14 years old, what were you doing at 14? I know I certainly wasn't quarterbacking a big-time high school program.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just one of these kids that, just – so mature beyond his years. You hear that statement so many times, but he's been that way ever since we've been dealing with him. Just always stays above the fray, and you know, he is what he is. I know you guys have, obviously, you hear about him and the kind of person he is, and he's always been that way, just steady as a rock, a high integrity type of kid.
You know, you talk about the kind of person he is, and I was reading your preview of his pro day workout today, and one quote, one thing that you wrote got me. You said about Matt Barkley, there are no questions about his leadership and character. What do you mean by that, Gary?
Oh, he's the kind of kid he is. He's a kid who led missionary trips in the off season. Last year, took 16 teammates to Haiti. You know, he walks that walk. He's he leads campus stuff on with other students. He's a three-time captain at USC, the first three-time captain in USC history. When you're talking stuff like that, you're talking those intangibles. You know, if you're an NFL franchise and you're looking for a guy to be the face of your franchise, to be a guy who's not going to be getting in any trouble, not going to be, you're not going to be worried about him. You're talking about a guy like Matt Barkley off the field. You're just not going to get a better kind of guy than that.
Hey, Gary, you mentioned how, he was on people's radar screen as a 16 or 14-year-old freshman in high school, and then obviously the last several years at USC. You know, I was contending on this show a couple of weeks ago that some of us and some observers, some analysts, may be suffering from Barkley fatigue when it comes to analyzing his pro prospects. He's been around so long that in some respects people maybe have heard too much of him and maybe they kind of look for flaws. Is that accurate?
I think there's a lot of merit to that statement. Yeah. You know, especially when he was the headline guy coming into last season and then things didn't go really as well for the Trojans, obviously during the year. And a lot of that got put on Matt's shoulders and then he has the injury at the end of the year. And so this has been kind of a guy all throughout his career where there hasn't been a ton of adversity that he's faced. And so now I think this is interesting because as this draft process has gone along, people are nitpicking his game and then, wondering, is his shoulder going to be strong enough? Where is he going to be in the draft process? Geno Smith has kind of established himself at the top guy of the pecking order. But that's why I thought today was so important for Matt to get back out there and show that the shoulder is good and get people start looking at the positive side of his game again. Because I think as can so often happen, you know, like you say, the fatigue sets in, and I definitely think you're accurate with that comment.
Talking with Gary Paskowitz, he is the publisher and founder of WeRSE.com, part of ESPNLA.com. Well, Gary, you said today was important for Matt Barkley. You were there watching, I assume, on the sideline. How did he look? How did he throw today at his pro day?
Pretty darn well. I think he answered pretty much any question that anyone was going to have looking at his game. You know, I turned to the person next to me after three or four throws and said, you know, okay, I've seen enough. The shoulder was obviously strong. He was making the throws he needed to make. I thought he looked very nimble. You take into account that these are scripted plays that you've been working on for months, but that goes without saying because the arm was there. And I think that was the number one thing that he needed to show was that the shoulder is ready and he can make the throws. And you're already starting to hear some of the commentators coming out. I'm reading the Brock Heward article just a couple of minutes ago saying Matt should be the number one quarterback in the draft based on what we saw today. And I think that's really important because, like you say, after the fatigue, now there's a month left before the draft, plenty of time for people to start seeing the good side of Matt Barkley again.
And arm strength was questioned going into the workout today. How did his arm look as far as strength and the ability to make some tough throws?
You know, I thought it looked pretty good, but I've always liked Matt's arm. I've always thought he had a good, strong arm. You know, the standard around these parts is Carson Palmer. I'm not going to say he has a Carson Palmer strength arm, but he's right below that, and I definitely think he's got a good enough arm, you know, to be the kind of guy who's a first-round NFL draft choice. And where he goes in that, I don't know. But that was the number one question coming into the day, and I think if you're Matt Barkley, you walk out of today feeling pretty darn good about that.
You know, one of the I've seen a couple of different numbers, and I don't know what they mean, but 55 of 60 attempts or 56 of 62 attempts, a couple of drops that he had, he couldn't really help. But you'd have to think that that's kind of what he was looking at when he went into this, even though it was scripted. But you'd have to think that was the kind of performance Matt Barkley was looking to put up, right?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, it's always good with these pro day things. You know, he has his own receivers. He was throwing to Robert Woods, guys he's been working with for years. But with that being the case, you better be good. You know, you better hit on 55 of 60 throws. And like you say, there was a couple drops. There was a couple overthrows. And, you know, it's a couple things you want to look at. But the vast majority of the people coming out of there looked at everything and just said, boy, Matt looked really, really good. And again, for those of us who have been following him for a long time, it was no surprise to see that Matt Barkley because we've seen it so much in the past. But what I was happiest about in hoping for the best for him is that the shoulder was healed enough to do this. You know,
yeah.
Let's say if it hadn't been healed, then he'd be going to the draft process with those questions still out there. But I think what today did was kind of silence those questions. And anybody who's interested in Matt now knows, hey, the arm and the shoulder is okay.
Gary, what has Chris Wienke done to benefit Matt Barkley in the last couple of months that they've been working together?
Yeah, Matt gave him a lot of praise today. Well, what Matt really said was getting away from Southern California and getting down to Florida and the South. He was also working with Dr. Andrews in Alabama. But he said what Chris got him to do was just focus on what he needed to do. And really what I thought was kind of interesting because there was so much attention to the shoulder is Matt gave Wienke a lot of credit for the footwork. He said, you know, getting the footwork in order, getting all that stuff down, that was something that Chris really perfected him with. And I was a little surprised about that.
Gary, when we were at the Combine late February and watching and listening to a Matt Barkley press conference there, one of the many things that impressed me about him was how he had no intention of accepting for himself some of the recent failures of USC quarterbacks in the NFL. He doesn't want to be painted with that brush, does he?
That was interesting. Yeah. That's Matt, though. He's going to be his own guy and marching by his own beat. And it's really a strange thing around USC parts is, you know, the string of quarterbacks when they were at SC, they were as good as you're going to get.
Yeah.
But for some reason, in the last 10 years, it hasn't translated to the NFL. And I think Barkley's kind of sitting there saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, don't stick me with that. I'm going to be my own guy when this is all said and done.
Where would Barkley have gone had he come out last year with the, you know, what appears to be one of the great quarterback draft classes of all time?
Boy, I've looked at that a lot. I would think he would have gone the number three quarterback. I think he would have gone ahead of Tannehill is my read. I don't know if he would have gone ahead of Luck or RG3. Those are two pretty special guys. But at the end of 2011, Matt was a pretty special guy in his own right. and there was a lot of people who liked him. So I think he would have been the third guy taken in that top 10 round. And I think it's going to be fascinating now as we see what happens. Because I think before today, you wouldn't have found too many people who said Matt was going to be in the top 15 of this draft. But after what happened today and after what you're starting to hear, I don't know that that's not a real possibility right now. I think it's definitely secure that he's a first rounder. It's just a question now of how high is he going to go.
Gary, the Buffalo Bills sit there with the 8th overall pick in the first round of the draft in about 5 weeks. What kind of a fit do you think that might be given, well, the weather conditions in Buffalo, playing in this weather for at least a couple of games a year, and the fact that the Bills, you know, are in need of a major influx of talent? How do you think he'd fit in here?
I think that'd be a really good spot for him at the number 8 spot. It's always hard to judge the weather. You know, Matt's never been in. You know, he's been a Southern California boy all his life. He's never really been exposed to that. I know the last SC quarterback, Southern California kid, who went up to Buffalo, Rob Johnson, that one didn't work out quite as well.
Not really.
So you got to hope for Matt that you guys get up there. But like we were kind of talking about earlier, boy, if you're looking at, I think the Bills are, from what I know, you're looking for a franchise type of guy, a guy that you can build around. And Matt Barkley is that kind of guy. If he adjusts to the weather, I would think you'd find yourself a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah. I want to ask you, too, about the receiver, Robert Woods. You mentioned him before. How did he look today? And there were some questions about his speed. Did he look like he maybe improved his draft stock with his performance today?
I thought Robert looked great. He had a one-handed grab on a ball that Matt overthrew a little bit. It was a streak route down the sidelines, and he overthrew it, and Robert just reached out with one paw and grabbed it. I thought it was interesting. He didn't run the 40. And what he said is that a lot of the teams that he's talked to have said, okay, you ran a 4.51 at the combine, and that was the electric time, but we had you hand timed at, you know, 4.46, 4.45. So we're fine. We don't have any questions about your speed. So he took that and said, okay, I don't need to run the 40 at pro day. So he decided not to run. But he was the primary pass catcher for Matt. No balls were dropped that were thrown to Robert. And I really think he's a guy, you know, that is going to sneak into the first round. I was talking afterwards, if you remember Curtis Conway, former receiver for the Bears.
Sure.
And he said, you know, this guy is a pro's pro. Runs good routes, good fundamentals, sticks his face in the playbook, good work ethic. And so I really think if you're a team that's out there looking for a wide receiver and you're looking for one maybe late in the first round, I think you could do a lot worse than Robert Woods.
Gary, I read a report that said 31 of 32 NFL teams had representative scouts, and some of them had coaches there today, mostly because of Matt Barkley. Who do you think the one team is that was missing? Do you know?
Yeah, we know it was the Redskins.
Okay, all right. Well, they got two quarterbacks last year. I guess they're set.
It's not two quarterbacks, exactly. They're set. And by the way, speaking of the Redskins, I heard the report that Fred Davis is taking a trip up to Buffalo. Boy, a lot of people think a lot of good things about Freddie Davis in these parts.
Yeah, tell us about him. He's supposedly going to be around the complex here tomorrow. What can you tell us about him?
Very athletic tight end. A guy who was a receiver and running back in high school, got moved to tight end at SC, and ended up being a Mackey Award winner. Again, the vogue tight end in the league these days is a guy who can move, is a guy who's athletic, a guy who can make plays, and that's Freddie D. Very, very professional kind of guy. So I think if you guys can get him, I think he'd be a good one.
See how that turns out. Gary, thank you for coming on the air with us. I know you've had a busy day out there and you still got spring football practice, but we appreciate you taking a few minutes to be on the air with us tonight. Thanks.
Thank you, John.
Gary Paskowitz is the publisher and founder of WeAreSC.com and works with ESPNLA.com, covered USC football for the last 16 years. As he said, he's been around Matt Barkley and covering Matt Barkley for the last 8 years, going back to his time as a high school freshman at Mater Dei High School in Southern California. Pretty amazing. Talking quarterbacks tonight, talking Bills quarterbacks. Who would you like to see under center for the Bills when they line up and play in September? And we'll take your phone calls in the next couple of minutes here, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Here is Ed in Angola. Ed, welcome to the show.
Hey, Murph, how you doing tonight?
Okay, real good.
Murph, I was going to ask you, do you think it would be better, and I got to, I guess, ask you this first, do you think Flynn is worth going after? And if he is, do you think it would be better for us to go after Flynn in the free agent market and try and draft a middle linebacker, or do you think it would be vice versa? Go draft a quarterback and go after a middle linebacker, because we desperately need linebackers and a quarterback, but do you think Flynn's worth the risk?
Well, you know, to answer your question, in my opinion, no, he is not. Now, Flynn is still on the roster out there in Seattle, so he's not a free agent. So, and I don't think the Seahawks have any real plans to release him. So if they're going to get Matt Flynn, they're going to have to trade for him, which I would not do. I don't, you know, basically he's got one really good game in his NFL resume with Green Bay a couple of years ago, you know, lost the chance he had to be the quarterback at Seattle last year. So my opinion would be no, I would not go after Matt Flynn in any meaningful way. If he happens to be a free agency and if you're running out of options, I suppose you'd have to take a look at him. But I don't like him as much as some others do. Yeah, they need linebackers. I think they feel like they can get linebacker help in this draft, second round, maybe third round. I know they liked some of the linebackers they saw at the Senior Bowl and at the Combine. Kevin Minter, for one, a guy that they have some interest in. But they definitely need linebacking help. Dan in Angola, welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show, Dan.
I'm liking E.J. Manuel. I watched some of his highlights in 2012 there, and he can throw the out ball, and I like that he's mobile. He can run around. He's pretty quick. You know, so I'm thinking he's got a pretty strong arm if he can get that ball out to the sideline.
All right. Thanks very much for your call, Dan. You know, I've been keeping kind of an informal tally sheet to the answer to the question, who do you want under center for the Bills in the season opener? And really, people are all over the place. I mean, this is just my unofficial count. And these are basically, I'm going by what people are saying on the telephone and what their strongest conviction is. A lot of people are throwing out a few names, but it seems to be one strong conviction for Matt Barkley, one for Geno Smith, one for Ryan Nassib, one for Carson Palmer, one for Matt Flynn, one for E.J. Manuel. People are all over the board. Some of the tweets coming in. Here's one from Jimbo423. I like what Greg Cosell said about Nassib. Greg Cosell on our show Monday said Nassib is at the top of his quarterback list. So Jimbo423 tweets that Nassib's the one who he wants because he trusts Greg Cosell's analysis. El DeJesus 0913 says, I would love Carson Palmer. Big arm, talented vet. Oakland didn't give him a real shot. He would have. He will have limited work, so we should get him. Okay. Let's see. Anybody else? Here's one from Sal Alessi, too, a frequent tweeter. Murph, it appears our first pick will be either Geno Smith or Barkley. Rather have E.J. Manuel. I suppose I should put that down as an E.J. Manuel vote. But it is an interesting question. I, you know, the Bills are right in the throes of it right now, trying to determine who should be the next quarterback, and why not us talk about it a little bit, too? Who would you like to see under center for the Bills on opening day this September? We'll get to more phone calls in a moment, but Stevie Johnson's coming up next. We talk with Stevie about his workout regimen, which is on display at BuffaloBills.com. Stevie's getting ready to come here next week as the vets return for the voluntary off-season conditioning. We'll talk with him about that as well and about Ryan Fitzpatrick. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live from One Bills Drive on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Fitzpatrick steps up, fires downfield, and it is, oh, what a catch at the 38-yard line by Stevie Johnson for a first down, an 18-yard pickup. Richard Sherman knocks him down, a one-handed snatch out of thin air by Stevie Johnson.
I'm all about my Bills. I'm on my Stevie Johnson.
Welcome back to the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, coming to you from One Bills Drive. And a guy who's been all over our website, BuffaloBills.com, this week is now all over our radio show. Bills wide receiver Stevie Johnson joins us on the line from Los Angeles. Stevie, good to talk to you. How are you doing today?
What's going on? I'm good. Actually, I'm not even in L.A. right now. I just drove up. We are at the EA Sports headquarters, and with Skulkin promoting this Army of Two.
Where are you? Where's the EA Sports headquarters?
We are here in Redwood City, Northern California.
Oh, okay, Northern California, back up close to your home. Yeah, well, the reason why you're all over the website, I'm sure you've seen it, the workout video detailing your extensive off-season workout regimen that you've been doing down in L.A. at a place called Athletic Gains. Tell me about that and the time you've spent down there in L.A.
It was a great time, you feel me, as far as opening up my mind to, you know, different type of things. You know, I came out and said I didn't do the conventional football workouts, being a football player. You know, I stuck to what I knew, which was basketball drill. So, you know, I said I was going to do those kind of workouts this year. So I tried it out, and then, you know, I was lucky enough to have the guys from Buffalo come out and film it and show, you know, the world the things that I've been doing this first offseason.
Yeah, it looked like some pretty interesting stuff there at Athletic Gains. And your trainer, Jamal Lincoln, he looks like kind of a taskmaster. It really makes you work pretty hard, huh, Stevie?
Yeah, definitely. And I like that part. You know, I said in the video that the things that he do, it constantly changes. Like, every set is something different. And, you know, and that's just like football. Every snap ain't going to be the same. You feel me? It's going to be different things that happen. And, you know, so you got to be ready for it. And, you know, after I said I was happy I got to finish the workouts because he was just changing up. I didn't know what I was in for.
And a lot of it was football specific. I'm thinking of one drill where he had you kind of jump up on a little stool almost to, while he threw a high pass. Talk about that drill in particular. That looked pretty grueling.
Yeah, that was the step up to grab the ball with the resistance band. You know, the resistance is just like having one of these DBs all over you, holding on you and all that, and you still got to get up and get the ball. So it just gave me that extra strength in my lift and my get off. So you know, I fly over these DBs.
Hey, Stevie, one of the things that Jamal Ligon said on the story that's up on our website, he said he likes to keep the pace going. He talked about having an accelerated pace. I think he said this. It's like a 2-minute drill is basically what he's trying to put you through, huh?
Yeah, it's real up tempo, you know. And I feel like if I'm playing every down like it's 2-minute drill, then you know I can go all day. I can outlast my opponent. So that's the thing that I was working on when I was out there athletic game. And you know, I just got to stay on it now. I've been off for a couple of days. I'm ready to get back to Buffalo and work, but you know, I just want to get my lungs up and be ready to go.
Hey, Stevie, a lot of this interest in this came about because of, you know, the comments that you made during Super Bowl week on the Jim Rome show about your off-season workouts. Were you surprised at how that was kind of blown out of proportion back then a couple of months ago?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, I definitely was surprised because, I've been doing basketball drills for the longest. As a matter of fact, when June, July come around, when we get that little month off, I'm going to be back in L.A. and I'm going to be doing my basketball drills, and hopefully we have a camera to come see how those workouts are too. It's not like I'm just laying around being lazy. You feel me? I've done this, you know, basically my whole career, and I've been pretty fine with it.
You know, when the team has struggled like the Bills have for a couple of years, and comments like yours are almost taken out of context, I thought people just kind of jump on it as if to say, I mean, it's hard to imagine anyone could think you could perform the way you have the last few years and not have some kind of workout going during the off season. You did.
Exactly. I'm not just sitting around, you know. And then at the same time, you know, my work, what I do on the field, okay, yeah, maybe some of it comes from what I do off the field, but at the same time, I got teammates out there, you know. So I'm not gonna win or lose the game, you know. It's a team game, you know. For people to go out of control with the comments I made after the, you know, like the numbers I put, they see me every week, they know I'm, you know what I'm saying, I'm hurting if we lose, you know what I mean. So I just didn't understand where all that came from, you know.
And I guess it needs to be said that this workout regimen that you did in L.A. at Athletic Gains, you had that planned long before you made those comments around Super Bowl.
Most definitely. You know, I knew what time it was, like towards the end of the season. You know, when they were talking with speculation, our coach being gone, maybe my quarterback would be gone. So it's like, okay, it's gonna be a whole new regimen coming in next year. So I know I'm gonna be getting out and doing this type of workout, you know. So, you know, it wasn't like I did this just for those comments. I was gonna do this already.
I advise people, if you want to check it out, it's pretty impressive video. Our man Jeff Matthews out in L.A. a couple of weeks ago shooting Stevie's off-season workout at Athletic Gains in Los Angeles. It's up there at BuffaloBills.com. Stevie Johnson on the line with us. It's the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. And you mentioned it, Stevie, the changes that came. Have you had a chance to talk with the new coaching staff or your new position coach or head coach Doug Marrone yet?
No, I haven't. I still haven't spoken to them. But, you know, like I said, you know, when I get out there in April, in a few days, you know, I'm talking to them and seeing what their whole plan is for me and you know, for the team, and see what we do.
Somebody told me you were deliberately waiting to talk to the new coaching staff until you got here. You wanted to talk to them face to face. Is that true?
Yeah, that was true also. You know, I just didn't want to. I mean, it's probably good to talk to them now. You know, he's a new coach, but at the same time, I feel like, you know, we can say anything over the phone. It's going to be the same thing that we always hear. I'm ready to go and this and that, which would be the same thing when I see them in public. I mean, in face-to-face, you know, but I'd be more accountable to the things that I say instead of just saying over the phone.
You've got a receivers coach who has played in the National Football League, and Ike Hilliard. Do you know much about him, or does it matter to you that you've got a position coach who has played the position in the league?
Yeah, well, as far as having a coach that played or didn't play, you know, I'm not biased towards any of that. You know, my coach is my coach. You know, no matter if he was that first round pick or if he never played a down in his life, you know, that's still my coach. I got the respect. But you know, with Ike Hilliard being our coach, I think it's pretty cool. You know, I've seen him play. I know he's got game. That's one thing that I guess I can't take from it. I know my coach has, you know, made these moves. So when he tells me something, I'll be more more on board to try them out, you know, because I know he's done it before. But, you know, it's a pretty cool thing, you know, just having, as far as having a whole new coaching staff, is challenging. That's why I say it's cool. You know, it's a challenge for us, and I think that's what we need out in Buffalo.
A lot of change here at One Bills Drive, Stevie, and your man Ryan Fitzpatrick is gone. Your thoughts on Fitz's departure from the roster?
You know, it's a business. If I look at it in a business perspective, I mean, that's what the team had to do, you know, because it was done. But if I look at it in personal, you know, on a personal side, you know, I'm mad that he left. You know, I thought it was gonna be me and him that was gonna, you know, change this franchise, you know, for a minute. But you know, it didn't happen like that. We had our chance, and you know, now we got to move on to another day and age with these Bills.
And some of your teammates at the receiver spot are gone. David Nelson, Donald Jones. Any thought on losing those guys?
Yeah, the same. You know, I feel the same way. You know, those are my brothers. I mean, years with them dudes, and dang near every day. You know, to see them leave is like, man, it's tough. You know what I mean? It's tough because we've been with them. That's all I knew, you know. But, you know, once again, it's a business, and we'll have some other people coming, some other players coming in, and hopefully they'll help out the team more than what my bros in the past did.
Hey, Stevie, speaking of other players coming in, it looked like via Twitter anyway that you were kind of lobbying the Bills to sign another receiver, Darius Hayward Bay from the Raiders. Do you have a relationship with him? Are you buddies with him?
Yeah, Darius, he's actually a part of the family. You know, he's dating my cousin, Tori, who's a cheerleader for the Raiders, and that's how they met. And, you know, it looked like we're going to be part of the family for a long time, you know. So that's how I know Darius. And then, you know, I've seen him getting released from the Raiders. And, you know, I just feel like he'd be a dominant threat with the Bills. You know, his size and speed that he got. He was just coming into his own out in Oakland. You know what I'm saying? I'm not the one that signed the check, but I think he'd be a good fit for us.
Yeah. And have you given much thought, Stevie, to the other receiver spot or spots? I mean, there was talk late last year about maybe you moving inside, working more out of the slot. But what do you think this team needs as another receiver? What would be a good complement to your game at the wide receiver spot?
I mean, we got receivers that's on the roster that's capable of helping out our team, and they just need the opportunity for it to be shown. But I guess, you know, with the way things are going now, with players jumping around and, you know, guys coming into their own, I think it's time to build. And if they're out there, why not at least try to get them? You know, there was a couple guys that I know I spoke to that were ready, and you know, but they ended up signing somewhere else. So, you know, it is what it is, but. You know, no matter what happens, I think we'll still have guys that's ready to compete.
Bills receiver Stevie Johnson on the line with us from California. We're talking about Stevie's presence on the website, buffalobills.com, with his offseason workout. Also, a story up there, Stevie, about an encounter you had, a lunchtime encounter with a couple of Bills backers in L.A., Matt Crist and Kurt Graves. That had to be, looked like it was kind of fun there, huh?
Yeah, no, it was pretty sweet because they were, I believe that the bars in it's either Santa Monica or Redondo Beach or something, somewhere close to there. And, you know, they came out in Hollywood and it was just kicking it. You know, we had a good time talking Buffalo football, talking about the area, you know what I'm saying? Just talking about the bars and how the fans show up. And I think that's huge, man, being all the way out in California and the Bills being heavy out here. So, you know, it's time for us to turn up. So these fans have something to talk about.
Yeah, speaking of the website, Stevie, I don't know if you saw it. They had a contest the last couple of weeks for fans to elect the best play of 2012. Bills Bracketology. You finished second. You lost in the finals to CJ's pass. See, yeah, was your one-handed catch up in Toronto against Seattle against CJ's 66-yard screen pass against the Jets, and CJ won. You sound disappointed.
Yeah, they are giving my one-handed catch enough respect. You feel me? I feel like... I was skying out there, man, and they don't put me on the ESPN top 10 overall, and then I lose to my boy CJ, man. It's tough. That makes me need to work out some more. I need to go out and work harder.
Hey, Stevie, will you be in town next week then when the voluntary workouts start?
Yeah, for sure. I'm definitely going to be there.
We'll look forward to seeing you here, CJ. Thanks a lot. Or CJ. Stevie, thanks a lot.
Look, I can't even get an interview off the phone with my name here, right?
I'm sorry. That's my fault. I'm sorry.
No, that's all good. That's my brother, man. That's all good.
Thanks, Stevie. Good talking with you. We'll see you here next week.
All right, boss.
Thanks a lot. Stevie Johnson, not CJ. Stevie Johnson on the line with us from California, Northern California. I can't believe I called him CJ. All right, it's the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Well, our thanks to Stevie Johnson, a.k.a. CJ Spiller, for joining us tonight on the show. We shuffled him around a little bit, so if you hung in there for that, thanks. And I don't know why I called him. We were just talking about C.J. Spiller, and thankfully Stevie's a good sport. He handled it well. I accidentally called him C.J. after we got done talking with him about C.J. Felt bad about that. By the way, Stevie, who if you don't follow him on Twitter, it's always interesting stuff. If you can, you know, he's got his own language, as you know. But tonight he tweeted about an hour ago, just inked a Pepsi deal, and he says he's celebrating the fact that he's just inked a deal with Pepsi. Pepsi on Yeevee, he said. Okay, so congratulations. Sounds like a good deal for Stevie Johnson. Again, thanks to him for coming on the show. I thought it was important. I mean, actually, we reached out to Stevie right after the Super Bowl week when he made those comments on the Jim Rome show about his the fact that he did not, in past years, follow the Buffalo Bills' prescribed workout regimen. He had his own regimen, which included a lot of basketball, interpreted by some to mean that he didn't work out, I thought, or that he, you know, had no regard for what the Bills prescribed. I mean, it's hard, as I said to Stevie, it's hard to imagine anyone being as successful on the field during the course of a season as Stevie has been in the last few years without working out in the off season. And if you have any questions, any doubts about how hard he works, you can see for yourself. Check it out at BuffaloBills.com. Stevie Johnson's workout this summer out in Los Angeles is on there. CJ Spiller is on there. Two birds with one stone. Our man Jeff Matthews shot CJ's workouts out in Los Angeles a couple of weeks ago. They're both headed here for the voluntary off-season conditioning program, which starts next Tuesday here at One Bills Drive. Coming up in a couple of weeks, we're going to have the John Murphy Show on the air in Rochester. We just made the announcement today. The Bills and Entercom Radio announcing the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, will debut in Rochester on Monday, April 15th, same time, 7 to 9 p.m., same show, just another station along the network. It's going to be on Sports Radio 950 AM, ESPN Radio in Rochester. So we're getting bigger. We're getting bigger, expanding down the road to Rochester with the John Murphy Show starting on April 15th. All night long, we've been talking quarterbacks and trying to get your thoughts. Who would you like to see line up under center for the Bills in the season opener? Who would you like to see at quarterback? We've been taking phone calls. We've been taking tweets about it. Let us know what you think. A few minutes left here, 803-0550. The number to call, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. You can always follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. And so far, there really is no clear favorite among the fans in our informal, unscientific poll. I mean, a couple of people say Carson Palmer. A couple of people say Ryan Nassib. A couple of people say E.J. Manuel. There are votes for Matt Barkley, Geno Smith, Matt Flynn. I mean, as I said, very unscientific poll, but it's a question that is going to need to be answered in the next month or so here at One Bills Drive. Matt Barkley making the news today with his pro day, getting mixed reviews by his performance. Those observers out there in Los Angeles at USC watching Matt Barkley's pro day. Mike Mayock, an observer, a close observer from the NFL Network and NFL.com. After it was all said and done with Matt Barkley throwing today at his pro day, Mike Mayock said he still prefers E.J. Manuel.
They're polar opposites. I mean, Barkley's much more ready to play today. And he's never going to bowl you over with upside, but he's going to be a really solid NFL quarterback. Now, Manuel's complete opposite. He's a big, athletic kid with arm talent. He could run the read option. He can throw every throw you've got to throw, but he's very raw. He's a little bit more of a developmental guy. So if you're an NFL team that wants a guy to plug and play, Barkley's your guy because Manuel's going to take some time. But I'm going to stay with my rankings of the top three right now. I think Geno Smith's number one. I think the Manuel kid can also win games and not just manage games. That's why I have them one and two. And I think Barkley's a really solid first-round guy.
That's the observation from Mike Mayock about Matt Barkley after his pro day today. Also, Bills news today, tight end Fred Davis, a free agent, Coming off his 4 or 5 years with the Washington Redskins, had dinner with the Bills brain trust over the weekend. He told a reporter on a radio show that he had dinner with Bills president and CEO Russ Brandon, GM Buddy Nix, head coach Doug Marrone, and offense coordinator Nathaniel Hackett over the weekend in Washington. And then he went on to tell the radio reporter that he is going to be in Buffalo this week to meet with the Bills.
No, I'll be tomorrow morning. They definitely show interest. And like I said, just the conversation that we had just about the offense and what they would do if I was there. So, I mean, I don't know. I just could tell. And if Chandler, is he still signed right now?
He's still signed, yeah. He's
yeah,
going
exactly.
to be healthy.
So me and him were together, man. I mean, I'm sure there'd be a lot of two tight end sets. And he making the plays he's making and me making the plays I'm making, I bet you we would accommodate each other. You know what I mean? Like I said, I watched him play and I've seen him. He did. He was scoring touchdowns, red zone. He's the red zone man over there. And, I just feel like we're definitely both of us in there and definitely be loved.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if we get a chance, if the Bills confirm that Fred Davis is here, maybe as soon as tomorrow. And who knows, we might even get a chance to talk with him. Maybe they'll have that locked up tomorrow. Maybe they'll have him signed. Who knows? That's a good reason to check in with us tomorrow for the podcast. Sabres hockey, obviously, on the air tomorrow, but the podcast will be up around 7 p.m. And among our guests, we're going to talk with the quarterback coach, Clay Helton, who's been Matt Barkley's quarterback coach at USC for the last 4 years. We'll get his view on his man, Matt Barkley, from the quarterback coach, the guy who's been coaching Matt Barkley. He'll be on the podcast with us tomorrow night. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned and locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. We want to thank our engineer back at the studio, Mike Jafari, our producer, the maestro, Russ Burton, and the Bills director of broadcasting is Jeff Matthews. Podcast tomorrow at 7 o'clock, back on the air with Real Live Radio on Friday night. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live from One Bills Drive on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.